It is the big debate. We are finally using our platform to talk about real important topics.
Like, how do you actually correctly stack a dishwasher? And at what temperature does the house need to be to justify turning on the heating?
Oh my God, I didn't know we were doing heating.
Why?
That's going to be a debate. This is Late Bloomers, where we are getting our lives together, apparently.
In a cold room, eventually.
I didn't know you were going to drop the heat, and that's where we differ. Anyway.
I'm dropping everything where we differ.
I'll let you lead.
This is 10 arguments every couple, every ADHD couple.
I think just all couples, to be honest.
Has had, and we're going to get into it.
Yeah.
Yeah?
How many we got?
We got 10.
Wow. Right. Go on then.
Number one. Dishwasher wars.
Yeah. Okay.
What's the right way to stack it?
Correctly.
Cutlery up or down?
Oh, wow. And rinsing.
Rinsing. So listen, I think I want to put it on the table. We come from totally different sides of this political spectrum.
Yeah.
And we've had to find a way to live and work together throughout. Polar opposite dishwasher stackers, you and I.
Yeah, look, some of my views on dishwashers stacking has been recently shattered, to be honest, because I was always a rinser. I was always rinsing the plates so they were sort of quite clean. And then stacking them just to give it that extra, like, you know what I mean, chef kitchen clean.
I mean, I don't do that, but I've always... That is the correct way. You rinse, you stack.
Yeah, but it's not. The guidance, the manufacturer guidance for the majority of dishwashers would be to not rinse. You obviously have to take any big bits of food off, but you leave all the sauces, all the juice, everything.
Wow, that's great news for me. Is that modern dishwashers? Because they've got like sensors.
Yeah, they've got sensors. Right. And if they appear cleaner than they are, right, it might not clean them
okay,
properly.
Okay, so... Yeah. First bombshell, don't rinse.
Yep.
I think we need to get into the difference between you and I and who wins this particular debate. I'll go first, but arguing for why I think the way I stack the dishwasher is correct.
Yeah.
So for me, it's not something where I'm looking to score points or show off or do it perfectly. I'm just looking to get it done. For me, done is better and perfect. So I'm just looking to get everything in. I'm also not looking for maximum efficiency. If there's a big plate on its side on the top and there's a big wash pot rather than actually washing it that's gone in, I'd rather wash all of it than have to hand wash to energy conserve for me. And how I stack is just, you just pop it in, you hope for the best. I don't really think it matters how you stack. So I'm kind of arguing for just a very liberal, do as you wish stacking technique.
Right, I've stayed quiet. It's my turn now. First and foremost, the start of that debate felt quite pointed in attacking about scoring points and showing off, because that is not what I'm doing. Wait, let you speak. So you listen. I believe your way of stacking is counterproductive, because although you say you want to get it all in, you don't want to hand wash, the way that you stack it is less efficient and you'll get less in. So when I stack and everything's perfectly in line, it creates more space. I utilize maximum space. To be honest, we've had situations where you have thought it was full, there's still loads left to go in it, and I've said, let me work. I've deconstructed it, put it all together properly, and I fit more in the dishwasher than you. So it's not about scoring points or showing off. I would do the same if I was in my own company, so nobody saw it.
So obviously you said I was personally attacking you. You felt it was when I said I'm not looking to score points. Then you've slightly personally attacked me with how I choose to do it, more free, more flowing, more liberal. You're very strict, you're very conservative. Now, I'm not in this to pretend like I know all the answers. I'm happy to meet in the middle and I'm happy to concede if the other side has a good point. And you are right. There are times when I've sat the dishwasher and I've said the dishwasher's full. You've come in, done a bit of
kind of white horse
deconstruction, moving around. You've opened up space and that has meant the other dirty washing has been able to go into the dishwasher rather than sitting in the sink. So there is something in what you're saying. You will often, when I'm stacking the dishwasher, come over and say, oh, Bubby, don't worry about that. Let me do it.
Yes.
And it's slightly dawning on me in this moment that you might be doing that to get me out of stacking.
That is.
Because you hate the way I stack.
That is what's happening, yeah. So there's another point as well,
yeah.
Which is worth debating. And then I think we should just draw a line under the dishwasher stacker. Is I will preserve certain items. I won't put them in the dishwasher. Like if it's a new pan or it's non-stick, you don't really share that view. Is that fair?
I have accidentally damaged some like wooden spoons and do you know what? I don't have an ego. This is a debate. I'm happy to give you the dishwasher was.
Okay, fine.
1-0. Number two, leaving the lights on. Is it essential for the vibes of the room or is it a waste of money and energy?
Wait, what, leaving the lights on when you're not in the room?
Yeah.
Why would the vibes matter if you're not in the
room? I'll go first.
Okay.
I don't think this is going to work out very well for me, this episode. I'm coming into it with the best intentions. Now, for me, I don't like coming home to a dark house. Reason being, it can feel a bit scary.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel very welcoming. So if there is a lamp left on in the hallway, maybe in the kitchen, when I come home, it's just immediately more welcoming. When I'm in the house, I don't like to constantly be up and down on my feet. Lights on, lights off, lights on, lights off. I like to have the vibes sort of on. So I'm talking that low level lighting, energy saving bulbs, fine. I love energy saving, but I'm a very vibes based person. So I like, you know, I like to have my sort of lamps, my warm lighting. In the bedroom, I like to have the blue lighting or the red, depending on what's going on that night. I'm going to argue that vibes is more important than saving money.
Follow up questions. What if we're going on holiday for a week?
Well, I'd say it's even more important to have a light timed that comes on so people think that you're still in the house. I think actually that's the other argument. It's not just vibes. It is actual safety.
Okay, so a couple of follow-up questions. I actually agree with keeping a light on. It makes it look like somebody's home, like from a security point of view. And I also agree to your point about not wanting to come home to a dark house. My questions, though, are, it's probably fair to say you leave the light on in every room that you go in. So for those arguments, for example, if you go into your wardrobe makeup room and all of the lights are left on, is that for the reasons that you've put forward? Because it doesn't feel like it would be.
There's another reason for that, which is just forgetting about it, having a terrible...
Okay, so I think we can agree, but maybe ADHD comes into play and maybe I'll concede to your points around leaving some lights on if you concede to quite often you need to turn them off and you haven't because you're not...
Yeah, so you're in it for the vibes and for the safety, but if I'm just leaving them on because I forgot because I'm a numpty, we should probably have a think... Is that me then? Do you think?
Yeah, fine.
I think that's 1-1.
Okay.
Number three. Toilet paper technique. And there's two parts here.
Oh my God.
First of all, there's whether the toilet roll should be hung coming over the top or coming from underneath.
Oh, I don't care about
that. And the second part is how much you're using for the different activities. So you don't care about over or under. So
don't care.
I'm just going to tell you it is over. If you go to a hotel, it's over. If I go to the toilet and someone's hung it under, I take it off and I turn it round.
Fine. I'm happy. I don't care.
Now, you're very passionate about something. Mm. So over to you for your argument.
I'm very passionate about the amount of toilet paper that you use.
Whoa. You straight in with a personal attack.
Yes. Sia was the same, actually, both of you.
Right. Number one, you've never been in the toilet with me.
I buy the toilet roll. I know how quickly it gets used. And you've also explained before. So I will take... So say it's a number two.
Oh my God.
I'll take probably four squares, fold it in half.
That's that.
So it's double layered. No, I'll do that as many times as I need to until I'm clean. You, like, make a boxing glove of toilet paper on your fist before you even, you roll it round.
I wrap it a few times so no wee or other substances is getting on my hand.
But can I just say, in rolling it round, you're covering the back of your hand as well, which is, so you're wasting 50% of the toilet paper that you use is just wasted because it's literally knuckle side.
Yeah, but how do you know I'm not wiping once, wiping twice?
Are maximum? You?
No.
Exactly. No, you're okay. Not flipping okay. Your hand over and knuckle wiping. Okay.
But it's toilet paper. It costs about £1.
Toilet roll's well expensive.
I don't feel like that's just the hill to die on. Like, I feel like we should be liberal. We should have freedom. We shouldn't have people getting involved in...
Listen, let me just make my point, right? So, I firmly stick to, I don't mind spending money, but I don't like wasting money, even if it's pence.
Right.
And that, okay, to me is a waste of money.
I'm going to call you out.
Like, you can say, I want this toilet roll, which is the most expensive toilet roll in the world. And if you want that, cool. Just don't waste it.
What happens when the toilet roll runs out? I will eat the whole animal. So I will use the cardboard tube to...
That's ridiculous. That's...
Dry up a wee.
Yeah, you should.
Maximum efficiency. So I don't think you can levy it at me that I'm wasting because I use every single piece, including the cardboard roll.
Right. Well, that's disturbing. But bearing in mind you've wasted 50% of the toilet roll on the actual roll.
I've balanced it out.
I don't think you have with one wipe with a cardboard tube.
So are you telling me you count 1, 2, 3, 4 and fold it out?
Yeah, but
four sheets of toilet roll, right, is not very thick. I think you'll still be feeling urine and...
When it's folded over, it's fine.
I don't know. Max,
oh, and then when I've wiped, I'll fold that in half and use it.
Wait, no. That's... Are you joking?
No.
That's disgusting.
It's not.
Max, who's won the toilet roll? Because we're really at odds here. I'm going
to go with... That's a rich win. Come on, ain't got time to debate this long, each one.
Fine. 2-1. Impulse purchases, little treats to keep us happy through life, or a waste of money?
Well, I mean, I feel like that's loaded because you say little treats. Little treats are fine. I don't think my idea of a little treat and your idea of a little treat is the same thing.
A new mascara, little treat.
Fine. But you wouldn't buy a new mascara. You would do a £300 haul from Cult Beauty because, and a mascara would be included in that.
You'll get free items. Listen, I'm not going to get into the specifics of what I, an adult human, choose to spend my monthly money on.
Well, fine then.
Because I don't have credit cards and I don't overspend. I have my monthly money and I live within that. I live within my means.
If you live within your means, I am then fine, I think.
So I'm going to argue that an impulse purchase, we only live once. Only live once on this planet and it goes by very quick. We're in our 40s and oh my good Lord. That's crazy to think about. So a little impulse purchase, a new hoodie or a new face cream or a candle. It's like, let's just have a spark of joy in that day. I'm not talking about like impulse purchasing a car or a bag. I'm not talking about putting yourself in debt or putting things on credit cards. No, financially responsible impulse purchase.
Okay, my only argument to that, because I think it's fine.
Yeah.
My only argument to it is impulse purchase, fine, but if it's pure impulsivity and it's not thought through whether you actually want this item or not, it could be a waste of money. My argument being that you would have bought things in the past impulsively, they would arrive, you'd have opened them and you'd have never used it, worn it, it's just in a cupboard and you'll forget that it exists.
Okay, so I'm sort of happy to meet in the middle here. Maybe it's not impulse purchases, but it's like little treats that you've thought about that you can afford, that you do deserve.
And you will use. Fine, done. I'm happy with that, yeah.
Talking about little treats for yourself that you will use, this seems like the perfect time to tell you about our amazing sponsor. I don't think we could have asked for a better sponsor for this podcast.
Definitely not. We actually use these.
We use them all the time. It's Loop Earplugs. And we're so happy to tell you that we have our own website with Loop Earplugs. It is linked in the show notes and also in the link in our bios. And if you go to that website, you will see our favourite products that we use all the time from Loop. And you'll also get 20% off. Just to give you a little rundown of what's on there, we have the Loop Experience. So this is for like when we recently went to Oasis and it was amazing, but for you, it was a bit loud.
Big time.
So what's it like sort of putting in the
experience? It just like cancels out that like latency noise that is just a bit overwhelming and makes everything manageable. You still hear the music, still hear you, just that extra layer of safety.
Like we go to so many more gigs because of Loop Experience. I'm very grateful. We've also got the Engage. So that's what I use when we go out for dinner. I struggle sometimes in a busy restaurant or cafe with all the background noise and I can't hear what he's saying. And look, sometimes I want to have an eavesdrop. Sometimes I want to listen to him. So that's Loop Engage. And then we've also got Loop Quiet. And that is for if you want to take a little nap or if you're in a library and you're working. It's absolutely amazing. So really hope you enjoy, guys. Okay, back into it. Are you ready for number five?
Yeah.
Sock rules. Are mismatched socks okay? Are holy socks okay? When to keep and when to throw away.
Holy, as it holy, as in socks with holes in, not holy socks.
They're blessed
like
by
spiritual.
Jesus. What are you?
Yeah, okay, fine.
Actually, with me, you wouldn't know.
Yeah, so. It wouldn't put
my
it past
Jesus
you.
Socks, £50, my impulse purchase.
Listen, this can be a quick one.
Okay.
I think.
Go on.
There is no world where I would ever mix up socks or wear socks with holes in it. It's horrible. It freaks me out. The feel and the thought of it and the fact that it's not correct would do me in. But I'm not going to say my way is right because for somebody else, if you want to wear mismatched socks and socks with holes in it, then call each to their own. I've got no strong opinion about what others do. That's personal preference, I think.
So you recently had a hole in your sock.
Yes.
And you weren't very happy about it because it didn't.
No, because I didn't know that there was a hole in my sock when I put them on.
I bought you a little treat. You could call it an impulse purchase of some special sensory socks.
They were lovely.
And they're lovely, weren't they? I'm just
really soft.
Just going back to the other point. So mismatched. I mean, I don't wear mismatched nowadays.
That's because you bought the same pair of socks 400 times.
I bought 20 pairs of the same sock, Flying Pig socks, which meant no sock matching for a couple of years, but a lot of them have got holes in.
Ah.
And I held on for quite a long time.
Wait a minute, though. The reason that you don't wear mismatched socks is because I do all the washing and I pair all your socks and put them away for you. Is that fair to say?
That's fair to say.
So do you think I think you would be a mismatched socks.
Before you, I was a mismatched, and I used to sort of kind of act like it was fashion, like I'm rebelling in sock wear. Realistically, I just didn't have the executive function.
I think it's fine though. I think it can be a look.
wow, you think it can be a look.
Why not?
And then, holy sucks, you can't stand it. I don't like it, but I get attached to socks. So I will often have... like
You keep them?
Like, you know my flying pig socks? They had holes in for a long time. Like, I kept them because number one, I couldn't bear to throw them away because I get emotionally attached to inanimate objects. And number two, it means throwing them away, organising that, and then buying new socks. So it's like tasks.
No.
But yeah, again, I wouldn't be saying that was right or wrong. So I feel like we're kind of...
That's the same as you saying you like nice, fresh bed sheets,
yeah,
but you don't really like changing them. So yeah. I think you can still confidently say you don't like holey socks.
No. So we're in agreement then.
Okay, done.
When they got holes in, throw them out. You Boom. Deserve socks. Oh dear.
Is this the heating one?
No.
Oh.
That's last. Number six. Butter technique.
Oh no.
Should butter go in the fridge or be left out? Should butter be sliced from the top or cut in chunks? What about crumbs in the butter?
Sliced from the top. Oh my God. 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 Right. No, I need to add one as well.
Oh.
Mrs. Crumb Butter.
I literally have also put, what about crumbs in the butter?
Fine.
So, do you want to start us off here with...
So I will struggle to debate this because I am objectively correct, I believe. I will tell you the way to use butter. Number one is you don't put it in the fridge. That's ridiculous. And I guess unless you're in a climate where it would physically just be a pool, then you're going to have to put it in the fridge and take it out before using it. That would be a nightmare. But
can I just say, we're obviously walking into an area where we really disagree. I just want to point out, because it's very important to find common ground. I agree. Butter, real butter, left outside the fridge in a butter dish, it's easier to access and it's actually easier to spread. So, you know, I know we're going to go separate ways, but let's just appreciate we have got some common ground.
Fine. So in a butter dish, you then the way you use the butter is you get a knife, a clean knife, and you just run it along the top as evenly as you can. No hacking into it. Like the only way that is acceptable to cut the butter is if you need to use it for cooking, and then you would cut it from one end as straight as a perfectly. So you're just reducing the size of the butter and not taking a corner off or whatever. So it keeps its geometrical shape. What would that be called? The like a oblong, like not a cube, but the long oblong cube. You know what I mean?
It's called an obloob.
Is it actually? So you keep that. And babe, I can't. So the crumbs are a big one for me. So say you're spreading butter on three pieces of toast. You need to spread the first one. And then you need to have a bit of kitchen roll with you while in this process. You need to wipe the knife and then go again. You can't lick the knife because then you're putting saliva in the butter. You can't just rub it on the edge of the toast because you won't get all of it. And you'll end up with crumbs in the butter. And you can't tell me, even though you may disagree with my beliefs, you cannot tell me that crumbs in butter is an okay thing for you.
I can.
Wow.
Because I really, really don't mind. So two things to address there. First of all, you have to cut like this thin slice from the top. You cannot cut a corner.
It's not a slice from the top. It's a scrape.
Fine. I think anyone can cut the butter however they want. A bit off the corner, a bit off the side, a bit off the top. I don't think it's that deep. I don't think it's worth getting on a high horse about. Just let people have freedom in how they choose to cut the butter. And I feel strongly about that. We don't want butter shaming. For not everybody wants it in a perfect oblong. You just want a bit of butter. Like, you're there to get a bit of flavour for your toast, not to make some art project.
I've got a solution then. We have our own butter.
We've got two butter dishes because I little treated myself.
But you have to promise me
that I won't use your butter. Yeah. And the other thing is crumbs in the butter. If I'm buttering toast, I'm not wiping or washing or getting another knife. That's just too much work. It's okay. A bit of crumbs, wipe it off, but it's just okay. I don't know. I don't think we're going to agree.
No.
So I think what we can do, we can agree to live together with different beliefs and we'll have different butter dishes.
Fine, done. What happens if you're buttering my Ryvita though? What butter do you use?
Mine. Whoever's using it.
Okay, so it's my butter to use. You're allowed to consume it as long as I am the one. Yeah, okay, fine. I'm happy with that.
So you can have your oblong. Number 7, calendar commitments. Do you put everything into your calendar or do you rely on vibes and memory?
Everything has to go in the calendar. Otherwise things get, I think even through this debate, you're going to end up agreeing with me here. Everything should, there's no shame because I know that it can be difficult to manage, but everything should, otherwise things will get double booked.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that, really.
So this is quite a simple one. I am going to argue my point because it's the great debate, but know that I'm arguing it with a deep sense of being on the losing team here.
Okay.
So I don't remember to put everything in my calendar. That renders my calendar useless because the minute you forget one thing, any day could be wrong.
Yeah.
So therefore, I can't use it because it's unreliable. Therefore, I rely on saying no to things so I don't have to remember them, or being so anxious and thinking about them so much that I don't forget. So if I've got a doctor's appointment, I'll ruminate on that day. If it's somebody's birthday, I'll think about it. If I've got a rehearsal date, I commit it to memory, and I've got a terrible memory, but I'll commit it to memory and think about it so I don't forget. It doesn't work. I often do forget. I do get texts, where are you? And I'm not there. I double book stuff.
Can I just stop you?
Yeah.
Is this your argument for not using the calendar? Because I feel that...
I said within my soul I knew I was...
Okay, so...
I'm going to... That's yours. Yeah. Everything should go in the calendar.
But no shame to people that because I know that it's difficult, but that's what we're aiming for.
What would help? What would help? I don't even know. Okay. Number 8. I think you're winning. Is it like...
Probably.
Yeah.
Okay. Carry, come on.
Bedtime routine. Do you like to go to sleep with noise or no noise? And is it appropriate to use your phone in bed while falling asleep?
Well, listen, I can debate my views on this, but I don't practice it because it's not good to use your phone just before bed. But I do. The blue light, I think it's science to say that it's a bad idea to use your phone just before bed. But I do. I can't go to sleep unless the TV's on, or I can't feel tired enough. The TV has to be on for me to then relax into feeling tired enough to switch it off, turn over, or go to sleep. No lights though for me. Like you've been falling asleep. It's your job to turn the little side lights off, isn't it? And the last few nights you've fallen asleep with them on, and I've woken you up in the middle of the night to turn the lights off.
Yeah, so I feel, again, some common ground. I'm happy to fall asleep with the TV on. In fact, I quite like having noise. If I'm in a room that's silent, I would sometimes put earphones in. Like if I'm away and there's no TV, I'll listen to a podcast. It just helps with feeling less alone and less anxious. In terms of the phone, you know, yes, we know it's not good, whatever. My bedtime phone routine is just... turning down my screen brightness bit by bit.
Yeah.
Until I'm tired. Probably not good for you, but I don't think either of us feel that strongly. I never used to be able to sleep without being drunk or sleeping pills. So I'm very
progress.
Much like, if you can sleep with the TV on or on your phone, doesn't matter. Sleep's important. Do what you need to do, basically.
Yeah.
Number 9, washing clothes, when do you know when to wash an item of clothing? Is it after you've worn it once, or is it when it starts to smell? And where do you put the clothes when they're in between clean and dirty?
So we have different routines here.
Yep, we do.
I don't wash clothes every time I wear them, but I will wear them constantly until I wash them. So I will have no wear again space.
Well, if that goes on the back of the bed tonight to be worn tomorrow, that is a wear again space.
Yeah, but I'll actually wear it again. Okay. Do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, I know. There's a personal attack.
No, but I'm just saying that your wear again potentially is. I guess let's rename it. I maybe don't think it's a wear again. I think it's a not yet to be washed pile, because you don't often wear it again. Sometimes dirty clothes go in there as well, babe. Like,
sometimes dip in and out. So look, what you're saying is you have to wear the same outfit over and over till it's dirty. I think you could be in the minority here. I don't think many people wear the same clothes every day. Like, if someone was going to work, they wouldn't wear the same shirt and trousers the next day.
Work was different. The shirt needed to be washed every time I wore it. You couldn't wear a shirt twice, because like all day you'd be sweating, you'd be moving around. I'm talking about lounging around at home and stuff. Like, I would wear the same joggers and t-shirt for a few days.
Okay, that's slightly different. And then how do you know when to wash clothes?
Maybe it's not based on the clothes stench. It's based on maybe if I have a shower, that's when all my clothes would go in the dirty washing, because I'm not putting them back on.
Well, that's interesting.
Clean.
You base it on your cleanliness.
Yeah.
So for me, it's purely based on the clothes. It's the sniff test. Can I smell BO? You sniff the crutch.
Yeah.
Sniff the sock. Sometimes I have to do it to know whether
socks
I've worn it.
Socks is ridiculous. Like, sorry, just wash the socks.
No, I know. I don't know why I leave socks out. Thinking.
Or underwear. Right, or pants. Like, you've got poo particles on pants.
Here's where it's complicated. This happened to me the other day and it messed with my mind. We went to the gym. Mm-hmm. And before we went to the gym, it was in the morning. I put on a pair of pants and a pair of socks and they were brand new.
Me too.
We were only in the gym for half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And they were fresh. I came back and got in the bath, and I got out of the bath and I was like, I don't think it's logical to put on new socks and pants. They've only been on half an hour.
I did. I put them. Exactly the same thing happened to me.
Half an hour of wear. See, that just
feels... half an hour of exercise. Squatting with a sweaty crack. Like, you're not... Don't put them back on, babe.
Well, I did put them back on, so...
It's the equivalent...
Because they didn't smell at all. And like, I would be like, are they dirty? Not at all. In fact, they smell really clean. So why would I...
Okay. No shame. No. I just couldn't. It's like when I go swimming, I would have to take a change of socks. Even if it's like, it's the first thing I've did. I've put socks on. I've gone to swim. I couldn't put the same socks back on. But I think it's because I've got really sweaty feet.
You have really sweaty feet. So who's won that one?
I think we're both okay with that one.
I think it's okay. I like this, that actually we're not trying to force our views on someone else. We're just allowing each other to vibe. That being said, I am on to the final one.
Oh my God, I know what this is.
The thermostat tussle.
Yeah.
Should we be living in the Arctic cold?
Right, that's attacking
already. To save
already.
Money? Or should it be lovely and toasty and warm? I didn't write the questions.
You did, though.
I did, yeah.
put a jumper on. So put a hoodie on, put a nice cozy hoodie on. And then if you get cold there, then the heating goes on.
I don't think I should have to be wearing double layers in my own home just to not be freezing. If I'm shivering in a t-shirt, I think it is perfectly okay to say, babe, could we please put the heating on?
The only, and this is more of an ask rather than a like, you're wrong, I'm right type thing. The only thing is that I run really hot.
I know that.
No. So hear me out. So if you have a nice, fluffy, warm, cozy hoodie on, The temperature of the room is probably of that's me in a t-shirt to be comfortable. So the problem that we've got is if you want to be warm in a t-shirt, I'm sweating and uncomfortable and don't know what to do with myself. So I listen, feel like this is a body temperature
listen,
thing.
Listen, that is so real and I don't want you to be uncomfortable. I will very often in the living room be under a blanket so that we can figure that out. I don't really think I'm talking about that. I'm not like, are you going to be sweating and so hot and I just want to feel like I'm on a beach. I'm talking about when it starts to go into the winter months as it has recently and I'm walking on the tiles and my tootsies are freezing, and my hands are cold. I might even be in a hoodie and I'm like, oh, bubby, it's got a bit of a chill down here. And you're like, no, it's fine. And correct me if I'm wrong, there is a slight thought about the money of turning heating on.
It's just trying to hold on, I think, rather than like when it's neat. Like I said to you the other day, it feels quite nice with the heating on because it's that different type of heat that's vibey and artificial with it cold outside and it just feels nice.
Cozy,
I get that. I just don't like doing it too early. I don't like pulling the trigger too early.
No, I agree with you, but I don't think anybody should be either too cold or too hot in their own house. There's a middle ground, and potentially as we do get into the winter months, just popping it on a little 18, 19,
well,
20.
The only thing, so fine, but my thing would be, you know, if you're too cold and you've got socks and a hoodie on, then we put it on.
And a coat and a blanket.
No. I'm happy to stop at hoodie or jumper.
Yeah.
But like, if you're coming down in short shorts and a vest, then maybe there's,
But we have gone for cozy and warm.
Yeah. Fine.
Lovely. This has been the great debate. We hope that you've learned something. We hope you've seen how we've debated with mutual respect, even though we come from very different sides of the spectrum. Let us know in the comments which side you fall on. And if you have enjoyed it, give us a like.
Subscribe, follow, all of that
shout stuff. Out wherever you are. Thank you for watching Late Bloomers and we will see you next week.